But our third chapter of Titus, starting in the third verse, fitting to the title, Washed Away. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice, in envy, being hated, and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. May God bless this passage to our heart as we prepare for this message. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, awaken our hearts and our minds, open us up, lift us up, and prepare us. As this moment approaches, let us be of joy of heart. Let us be glad. Let us be ready to accept it as we've set aside the labors. Let us now put ourselves together in reverence and in quiet humility as we accept what you have given us on this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. September 23rd. That's a big day coming up, isn't it? That's right. I figured that would catch it. September 23rd. It's the day of my birthday. But September 23rd, 1622, I was not born that year, comes as a different day. On that day, something happened that I'll bet you've never heard of, but you're about to now. On that day, the Atocha, a Spanish galleon ship, sank off the coast of Florida. The Atocha, and I'm probably not saying it right, and you guys know how I am, the Atocha, so for now we're going with my saying, was a Spanish galleon. Now, if you guys don't get what a Spanish galleon is, it was an immense ship of size, of great. It carried 5 masts and 2 extra sails just for speed. You see, galleons were built for one thing, one purpose, and that was to carry treasure. To carry precious jewels and rubies and gold, and they were designed to outrun whatever came up on them. And they could throw all the masts open, and they could unfurl and lean into the wind and get away when those who would pursue them would seek to sink them to the bottom and take over that treasure. But they couldn't escape the wrath of a storm. And so on September 23rd, 1622, the Spanish galleon, the Atocha, sank off the Florida Keys with the following payload. 20 bronze cannons. Let that sink in your head just for a minute, and that ain't even the good stuff. 20 bronze cannons, 30,000 pounds of copper, 5,000 pounds of gold, 35 tons of silver. Now, if you're curious how much that's worth, let me put it forward. In today's money, that'd be worth well over $400 million. Sunk. Gone. Disappeared. All hands lost. No trace of it. A treasure of epic proportion. And it has laid on the bottom of the ocean for over 350 years. No, I'm not going to go become a treasure hunter, so quit looking at me like that. They haven't made a wetsuit to fit me. But that kind of treasure laid on the bottom of the ocean, hidden from view, hidden from anybody that would look for it, hidden away until one man by the name of Mel Fisher in 1960 read about it in a book and decided he was going to go looking for it. And he started in 1960 looking, and for 13 years couldn't find it. But in 1973, on a dive, he found 1,500 coins, 3 silver bars weighing 65 pounds each. He dug them out of the sand. And that was the last thing he ever found. He continued to search. He was determined to find this great treasure. He was determined that it was there. But it wasn't until 1985, 25 years later, that a storm off the Florida Keys, a hurricane of great proportions, whipped around and tore around and shifted and washed away the area. So that on July 20th, 1985, and I'll read this to you from his book, as the search for the main part of the Atocha continued year after year, Fisher realized that the shipwreck lay scattered over many miles of ocean floor, buried in 26 feet of sand and silt. It was painstakingly uncovered by prop wash. They took the water that they had and drove big boats across it using props to stir it up. It's a device that directs a boat's propeller downward, forcing to clear the bottom, using the water to clean, and creating these gigantic prop wash holes. On July 20th, while exploring a prop wash hole, a diver wandered into one, found about 3 or 4 silver coins and a couple pieces of pottery down 10 feet into the hole, and gave up. On his way to the surface, he noticed a gray mound that had not previously been there. It was about 10 feet long, it was 3 feet high, and resembled stacked loaves of bread. Upon further investigation, the diver discovered the lost treasure. He found hundreds upon hundreds of silver bars from the wreck of that ship. And by October, the entire treasure had been found, what the water had washed away to reveal. Fisher's divers brought up more than 130,000 silver coins, 956 silver ingots, 115 gold bars, and hundreds upon thousands of emeralds and gold objects. After 17 years, 500,000 oceanic miles, his perseverance was rewarded. The treasure was uncovered where the water washed it away. The treasure was uncovered. Great was the reward from the water that got washed away that day. Can you imagine what it would be like? I'd like to find one bar. Just one bar of gold would set me good. I could build a shop, buy more steam engines, put some tractors back together. Oh, that's right, and pay off bills. But the treasure was found, and though it was hidden, the water washed it away. Today, we're looking at the water washing away again. You know, in the Bible, it's used in reference to say, washed away sins. But today it's time for us to celebrate what this rite, what this ritual, what this moment in the Church of the Brethren has come to mean. Today we're going to do something that is a blessing manifold. Today we're going to welcome to join the church, 2 young hearts that found Jesus, and to those who wish to rededicate and let it wash away again. This is not merely just going in the water and being dipped under 3 times. This is a symbol of a rededication. This is a symbol of a birth awakening. This is a symbol to let the water wash away what has covered you up to see what the treasure underneath actually is. No better late than never. And like the Atocha, when the water washes with that blessing of God through Jesus, the treasure hidden in is revealed. Now let's take a minute and talk about baptism from the viewpoint of the faith of the Church of Brethren, so that you understand, so that you get what we're doing here today. And so I look at you, Kara, and Cole, and Jackie, and I talk to you about this moment. Baptism, from our viewpoint, is an outward symbol of an inward desire to change. It's not going to save you. It's not going to get you into heaven any quicker. It's not going to have you walk out of the water and a little halo appear above your head. It's not going to do anything for you except commune and direct and bring you closer to God. It's going to wash away what is hidden underneath that treasure. You see, the brethren, we go in the water 3 times. And we believe that baptism comes not as a little baby, not as a sprinkling of a couple of drops, but as an immersion, as Jesus did. We believe that at this time, The only way to understand baptism is when you're of the age to understand the salvation of our Lord and Savior. It is an outward symbol of an inward desire to change, to see those sins washed away. Even Jesus was baptized. If we go back and we read in the Gospel of Matthew in the 3rd chapter, we see what he had to go through at that moment. We see John the Baptist out there working in the Jordan River in his clothes. But we also see what happens when Jesus showed up, and at the beginning, John's explaining something there. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more holy than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus came up from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill righteousness. And John consented. Even Jesus went in the water. All of us go in the water. Look around this room. Take a look around at everybody sitting next to you. We've all been in it. We've all felt that moment when you're listening and then you're under and then you're listening again. You know, we come here today, and my sermon for the most part is directed at those who are about to step into the water today. And there may be even somebody sitting here today going, I need this right now again. And the desire has begun to burn in you to go in that water and rededicate at your time. But yet to this day, I challenge each and every one of you to stop back, step back, and think and remember your first day. We'll talk about mine, since everybody can't talk at once. I was 14 years old. Wasn't much older than you, or much... Let's see. How old are you, Cole? 15. You're 15. Carrie, you're 16? 13. 13. So I'm right in between you. I was 14 years old when the desire came on to get baptized. The desire came on because a bunch of us boys in church said, let's go get baptized. Okay, let's go. We hadn't thought about it. We hadn't made our plans. We just knew it was the right thing to do. And so we got up and we went forward. And my father saw us come up and he prepared us. And then we went over to Pipe Creek Church of the Brethren because they had a baptismal. Because it was too cold for us to get baptized. And we wanted to go in, but Dad didn't. So we went to the baptism and we walked in and we went under and we came out, and I didn't think much about it. I moved on to time. I let time go on, but it was still something that clicks in my mind. Every time I drive by Pipe Creek Church, I remember that moment. I remember that day. And as I have grown to this point now, I see that it was the start of something for me. It wasn't just the end. It wasn't just the end of a long walk up to the altar where you think all the eyes are on you. It wasn't just the end when I came out of that water. It was the beginning. It was the start. How many people sitting here today can remember back, can think back to that day, can think back to that moment when they stepped in the water for the first time? That's right. Let me see them hands up. I know you two can. And I was proud to be part of that. It was a great day, wasn't it? When you remember that feeling, when you think back, when you came out there about a week later. But you remember going in? Do you remember what it was walking down to that water? Whether it was a baptismal, somebody's swimming pool, or we're about to do later, down in that live water. You walked down with great anxiety and great anticipation. Because you were prepared to step into that water. Well, to the three that I know that are going in today, let me tell you what everybody was thinking, so you'll know you're not alone. Am I going to slip when I get in there? Am I going to be scared? Is the preacher going to drop me? That's what I thought. And then you go forward 3 times. And that 3rd time, when you come out, it's different. Everything's walked away. You walked out feeling the change. You walked out feeling the connection to Him, to Jesus. I challenge you to remember. I challenge you to think about it from this point. Imagine 7 nervous, scared, frightened, radical individuals intent on changing their world. Imagine those seven people as they stood on the bank looking into the water. Imagine what was going through their minds. You know what seven I'm talking about? Imagine those seven in 1708 in Schwarzenau, Germany, as they stood at the bank of the Eider River and looked down into that water. Now, this is what they were thinking, and I'll guarantee you I know this. They were thinking, we just signed our death warrants. Because you see, Alexander Mack and the six other followers that would begin the Church of the Brethren were radicals. They were considered so against everything that there was. Because Germany was the state. It was the church. It was what would lay everything out. And they knew that the minute they stepped into that water, they had caused their own death. They knew the persecution was going to be manifold. But they had read the Scripture, and they saw that in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we must baptize. And so in they went. And one man baptized Alexander Mack, and he in turn baptized the six. And while they stood on the banks nervous, while they stood on the banks scared, while they stood on the banks not sure of what was going on, they knew that Jesus stood on the same bank and looked into the water and knew that when He came out of the water, everything was going to change. He knew that He was going out to 40 days. He knew that His time would be quickly approaching. And as they walked out of the water, I read that Alexander Mack said they felt everything different. The fear was gone. The sin was washed away. The time had been made. And now it was going to be a great joyous celebration to dig deeper into Jesus' Word. Unfortunately, they did have to leave Germany, but they brought it here to America and gave us the Church of the Brethren, gave us baptism, gave us something that was considered illegal, something that we can now do today freely. Gave us a place to go when you have gone to the edge and you have said, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. And He takes you away. Or when you come to the other edge and says, Jesus, I just need to reconnect. I need that anointing. I need that rededication. He says, come into the water. That song was so beautiful. May that water always be there for you. May that living water always be there for you. The water washed away that day to reveal their new treasure. Now I'm going to stop here for a minute. I'm going to talk about going back in. You know, I once heard someone saying with that look, that mean old Christian look. You know that one I talked about last Sunday? Let me get that look on for you. You don't need to go in that water again after you've been in it once. What did we learn last Sunday, brothers and sisters? Let me see your Christian faces. Let me see those smiles. We learned that Christians don't look like that. We learned they look like this. But I've heard that saying before. Why do you need to go back in? You don't get nothing by going back in. You're not going back in for any reason. Well, let me tell you this, they're wrong. Going back in is no different than drifting away and reopening the Bible. Because you knew all that stuff once before, and now you're coming back. Do you need to reopen the Bible? Well, of course you do. You're going in that water for a reason. To redirect, to rededicate, to reconnect, to be washed away, to let that treasure come out. I'm going back in for my fifth time today. Someday I hope to be able to preach this sermon again and say, I'm going back in for my 205th time. I went in once when I was 14 years old. I went in again after I got married because my beautiful wife wanted to go in. Never had been. And so I went in with her. That time it meant even more. I went in once with my cousin. And now twice, I get to go in as a preacher. The reconnection. The reawakening to that salvation. And I can assure you one time. I can assure you that it moves me and refreshes me each time. I have been looking forward to this Sunday with great, great hope and anticipation. And I can tell you right now that I cannot wait until next year when we do it again. I'm waiting for somebody to call my bluff and say, brother, let's go in January. Yeah. I don't reckon I'll see most of you all there. True story, my father, and I relate this story to some. When my father was preaching up at Johnstown Church at Brother, and I can remember this, I was their age. A man came forward and wanted to go in the water. He didn't want to go to baptism, he wanted to go in live in January. And so they went around behind the church about a half a mile, and they busted a hole in the ice of the Cherry Run River, and they went in. And they came out of there, and nary a one got sick. Frank gave me an article where 500 went in for a watching. I think if I read that correctly, up in Berks County, in the cold water, in January or February. It don't matter. You're there to reconnect. You're there to wash away. You're there to see that moment come when you can wake up and look back and go, I'm glad that water is still there. When you have done all you can do, and the world has threatened to take away your momentum, it's time to reconnect. When you have been everywhere, when things have been taken away from you that you think shouldn't have been, it's time to reconnect. When you have felt that calling and heard His voice on your heart, come here, child. Come here to me. Do not leave this earth without knowing me. It's time to go in. It's time to be awakened. I don't care if you go in once. I don't care if you go in once a year. It means the same thing every time. You're being washed away for that new treasure. I say that this is a great anointing. So I say to you here right now today, I say to anyone who is lost or has lost it or is losing it, today's a good day. I say to anyone who has lost the fight within them, who feels that need to crawl back in, who feels that need to feel that refreshing, to be washed away, to become that treasure again, I say today's the day. I say that look around you. This is your family. You're their precious cargo. I say that if you're here, do it. This is the time, and for those who do not know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like I know Him, today is the day. In the book of Acts, in the 22nd chapter, in the 16th verse, we hear Paul saying these words. He said, get up now. Go be baptized. Why do you delay? And get back with the Lord. He gives us those words. He tells us. And now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on His name. This is the day. This is not time for delay. This is not a time to sit back. This is the day that if you're wondering, this is the day that if you need to, this is the day to see the washing take place. We read these words from Mark. And there's a lot about being washed in the Bible. I love that. We read these final words from Mark. I baptize with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has called to you. He wants to wash those sins away, and He wants you to be His treasure. He has said, now's the time. If it's your first time, if it's your next time, today is the day. As we approach the water today, I want you to keep in mind, I want you to gather up on those banks, and I want you to hear the words of that beautiful song that we just heard, but I want you to be in silent reverence time, because this is a precious time, and I don't want you to miss the voices. I want you to listen quietly, because you might just hear yourself being called back in. It's time to baptize. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare us. Prepare us with reverence and admiration to view this time, to view this holy symbol, to view this outward change of an inward desire. For some, it is that time to walk, to take that first step, to hold out their hand and say, Savior, leave me. Lead me. It's time for some others to step forward and say, Father, I got lost. Pick me back up. Bless this congregation today. I pray that if there is any heart within anywhere in this entire group that needs that rededication, that they would come in. I pray that if they do not know my Lord yet, the way I know Him, to come in and receive the goodness and the salvation and see those sins washed away. But I ask Your blessing on this time. I ask for You to prepare us to be renewed as treasure. And let all that dirt be washed away. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We'll now prepare Cole, Kara, Jackie. If you'll go back and see Wendy, she'll get you prepared. The rest of the congregation, if you would please move down to the bank, we'll prepare for that time of baptism.